Mishnah based. We just touched on the Mishnah. We started a little bit. We'll go through it again. Rabbi Gamliel ben Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Omer. Yafet Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Learning Torah is good when you have it with Derech Eretz, which simply means in this context, an occupation. If you deal with both of them, learning Torah and working, so sin is forgotten. Any Torah that doesn't have with it work, that doesn't have a job, in the end the Torah is going to be no more. The Gerer stuff, not only that, it'll draw with it sin. And then the Mishnah switches gears. Anyone who's in a communal position to help the people, so he should do it, make sure that he's doing his help for Hashem's sake, because the sake of their forefathers helps you, and their righteousness will endure forever. Whatever that means. Meaning, who's that going on is not so clear. Atem, and you, the people that are working with the community, I'm going to consider it like you did it, and I'm going to give you a great reward. Even though, really, there's so many things coming into play helping you out, I consider it like you did it. So we said last week, to work and to learn, the Bartanura says, basically, that you got to work and learn because doing both of them weakens the person's Yetzirah. And therefore, he could serve Hashem properly. A person might think, oh, so I could just weaken the Yetzirah with learning really, really well. But if he doesn't have any food to put on the plate, so then that will also lead to sin. And that would be the second meaning. The Mishnah seems to be repetitive. It says, it's good to have work with learning with work. And then if Torah doesn't have work, it's no good. So he's saying, it's good to have work in Torah because it weakens sin. But then you might think, okay, all we need is the Torah. No, because that, if you don't have any food to eat, will draw with it afterwards sin. Being that a person doesn't have food to eat, he's going to start stealing and cheating and doing all sorts of sordid activities. Mishnah ends off, the Bartanura's simple shot is that people that are dealing with communal things, a lot of times they get horny, right? They're the gabbai. All of a sudden, they feel like they're a big guy or something, or they're dealing with people. They're, you know, the coffee guy. You know, whatever position you have, all of a sudden you could start becoming big, like, you know, haughty. So Mishnah's telling you what you're doing. Make sure you're doing it for Hashem. You're not doing it for reasons like that. Just chus avoysim se'asan, because so that the merit of the forefathers will assist. And their righteousness will last forever, and I'm going to consider it like you did it yourself. So, basically, the Bartanura continues and says that that's what the Mishnah is continuously speaking about. That Zuchus HaVoisim Mishtadasan, right, that you think, oh, you know, you're the main guy that's dealing, making a whole situation somewhere, whatever, you're the administrator of yeshiva, and everyone has to come to you. So you think, oh, I'm great. No, it's really the people that are there, their forefathers, and their divine first, their merit is helping you do all this. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I consider it like you're doing it yourself. Another totally different understanding of Artanura is that when you give over your money to a cause for tzedakah, right, let's say to save a captured Jew or something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I consider it, if you inspire, meaning you become the collector, you go out, some guy is trapped, and you go and from door to door to door and do all these things to collect money, and then you give the money to the people, and they ransom the person out. So then Hashem considers it like you yourself did that mitzvah. Even though it wasn't your money, you just ran around collecting money, Hashem considers it like you did that. The Rambam says, like, similarly on a mitzvah level, he says that even if the guy is an administrator, so he's running around trying to get the air conditioning fixed and trying to get this done and that done, and he's not doing as many mitzvahs as he'd like to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I consider it mala ani aleichem schar t'harvei ki lasisam. I'm going to give you all the schar as if you did it yourself. This is all the Bartanura's way of looking at the Mishnah. The Tiferes Yisrael, the Yochin, has a totally different understanding of the Mishnah. And he says, very important stuff, he says, Yafet Talmud Torah derech eretz doesn't mean it's good to have Torah with work. Derech eretz, he says, means Humility means you have a proper approach to the world. You approach and you deal with the world properly. And you're not haughty. Right? That you develop your character and you deal with your things. Such a person like that is going to keep a person away from sin. Right? Meaning he's going to be a proper person. He's learning Torah and he's working on himself. Yet even such a holy person can sometimes also fall into the worst sins, similar to what the Bartender said, if and when he doesn't have food to put on the table. So therefore, the Mishnah would be saying, you should make sure to learn Torah, but don't forget to also work on yourself, to have derech eretz, like the simple pshat that we use for derech eretz. A guy says, you know, have some derech eretz. That means, you know, have some respect, be a mensch. But then, if you don't have any food, that's also very important to make sure you have food on the table, or else you also could fall into sin. And the second half of the Mishnah, he also says that here he's talking about people that are dealing with communal things, administration, things like that. And he says that they don't have necessarily so much time to deal with Torah or Parnassah. He says, make sure that you do it for Hashem, and Hashem is going to help you. Forefathers, the Avos will help you, of the people. And it'll help you, he says, in your physical things, in that all of a sudden, the physicality, you're going to have an apartment, you're going to have this, you're going to have everything that you need. And the spirituality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save you and protect you. You might think, here's a guy, he's dealing with, you know, guys complaining about the fridge all day, and this and that, you know. So where's he going to get, how's he going to be holy? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're doing things for others. For Hashem's sake, I'm going to make sure that you're tzaddik. I'm going to keep you holy, even though you're not necessarily asuk, totally absorbed in holy things all the time. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it. On top of that, even if you don't end up doing many of the mitzvahs, I'm going to give you all of the zchus, all of the merit, as if you did the mitzvahs. That's all on the simple level over here. Getting a little deeper, breaking open the Mishnah on much more interpretive levels, we can start off again the Mishnah like this. It says, the Mishnah seems to be very clear, saying that you have to have Torah with work. Simple understanding that almost everyone goes with is that Torah and work, says it twice even. So, very interesting, this the Lev Simcha takes from these very words an allusion to the kollel system today, where guys can spend their entire life not working, sitting and learning all day, getting a kollel paycheck. He says, how so? How in the world can you extract from this mission of kollel? It seems to be saying the opposite. He says, Yafa Talmud Torah, it's good to have the husband sitting and learning in Daras Eretz with the wife working. If you have the husband sitting and learning, the wife working, Yafa, it's beautiful, everyone's happy. That's how he takes out from this Mishnah. It's actually amazing to take out such a thing, but there's a story with Rav Meir Shapiro, who was the one that started Daf Yomi. He ran the huge, amazing yeshiva of Lublin. And he went on trips to America fundraising. So one time before he left on a trip to America fundraising, he went to visit the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe in those days. And when he went to visit the Ger Rebbe, he started to speak to him about a certain issue that always came up in America. That the people would always bother him. How could it be you people in Eretz Yisrael, you teach the kids and you don't teach them any secular studies? How are they going to know anything in life? How are they going to have any tools to deal with life? How are they going to be able to make a parnasa, you know? And they're always bothering me about this, as Meshavio said. So what should I answer? What would be the proper answer to give to them? So the Imam said, he quoted this Mishnah, where it says, Yafa Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. He says, in the olden days, in the signs of the Mishnah, Yafa. Yafa doesn't mean Chayev or something like that. Yafa means it's nice. It's a beautiful thing if you have Torah and Derech Eretz. Because in those days, there was such a concept of a guy that sat and learned, woke up, Nate, dealt with his fields and his animals. He went to Shachar. He learned for 2 or 3 hours. He came back and fixed up his fields a few hours. Went to sleep. You know, there was such a thing of staying in work and in learning and being holy. He said, nowadays the spiritual dangers that are rampant around in the world are so powerful that there's absolutely no yapa anymore. It's not the proper thing to do, the Imam has told him. And therefore, the main thing is just to try as much as you can to stay within the walls of the yeshiva. There's a story with the, I think it was with the Beis Yisrael. These are all Ger Rebbe, so I guess this is the Ger Shita. That someone was brought down in those books from Rav Lorenz. Shlomo Lorenz, who was a Knesset member for many, many years from the Haredi parties, but he ended up having a very deep connection with a lot of Gedolim, so he wrote a bunch of books in their shadow or something. In Hebrew, it's mechitzasan, something like that. So he writes about one of his friends that always had a very big hard time dealing with the fact that people just sit and learn all day. He said, "What are you doing? It's not going to be able to sustain itself, such a system. It's not the right way. We never had such a system like this in Klal Yisrael." So he went to the Emory, to the Beis Yisrael, I think, and he started complaining, telling him about this. And he said he went to many, many Gedolim before. They always gave him answers and all sorts of things. And he said the Beis Yisrael didn't give him an answer. When he spoke about that, he started to shake, started to tremble, and he stood up out of his chair and he said, "My friend, the spiritual problems and crazy dangers that are coming into this world, you have no idea about. This is the only way that Klal Yisrael will be saved. This is the only way that Klal Yisrael will be saved." And he said it with such intensity and such power that he actually got calmed by that answer more than anyone else's. And as we see today, nowadays, it's a very, very not simple thing to go out into the world and say, "Yeah, don't worry about it. Now I'm going to go to work. I'll deal with that and not be affected." It takes a lot more nowadays with all of the whirlwind. It could happen even in yeshiva, but with all the whirlwind of things that are involved in work, it takes a lot to do this. So therefore, the Leib Simcha learned out from this mission to stay here. But if we're going to do that, let's say we're one of these people that are zocha to say, "That's it, the wife's going to work and get a full paycheck, I'm going to deal with it, and we're going to sit and learn the whole day." So the learning obviously has to be a powerful learning. It can't just be hanging around and, mooching off the system, as they call it. So if we look deeper into the Mishnah, we actually see a lot of allusions as to what this means, what this might mean. Safnas Paneach says that, what does it mean that a person can just sit and learn? Is if a person takes it as seriously as a high-paying job. A guy has a very, very high-paying job. He's the manager of some sort of, of a whole mishlaka in Google, and he gets there every day, and he handles, and he gets paid, $1 million a year. And they're very, very, not high-mish company. You gotta be there on time, you have charts, and everything has to be shown that you're producing, and you're on top of things. So, such a person is charutz, he's all the time going, he's working, he's got time, he's actively involved like that. So to the Torah learning, if you want to take away the work from that, you got to do that. Meaning, you got to take the work and put it into the Torah. That's what the Divrei Yisrael of Majitz. He says that it says Torah in ima malacha. And if the Torah doesn't have with it malacha, it's going to cause bad stuff. He's talking about Torah that's not learned with strength, not learned with malacha, with work, like as if it was a high-paying job. This is a concept that you hear many, many times in life. They say, when you're in yeshiva or you're in kollel, they say, "Why weren't you here on time?" "Well, my wife and my kid and this, and then I was going and some guy needed me." So the Rosh Kollel or whatever will say, "If you had a high-paying job and you were, held accountable for every minute, you could lose your job. You would have done that. You would have come, for sure. You would have said, put everything aside. The Torah is a high-paying job. It's a very serious job. Don't be late next time." That's what they always say. So, I once was schmoozing with a guy, and he was very bothered by this. He said, I hate that, they make it sound like you have to be on job and everything. It's Torah. It should be much more open. It should be much more deep connection. And it shouldn't be with such a dry attitude, like, be here or not, but it's a high-paying job. So I heard in the name of from Rabbi Travis, he said a story from one of the Gedolim, a big rav in the time of the Independence War, and it was right around here in Geula. And in time of the Independence War, apparently they were shooting rockets from all over, from Jordan, from right across the valley here, rockets and rockets. It was a war. It was a wild war, crazy war. And the times were very tight with food and with everything, and people weren't going out. People were staying in their houses, in the bomb shelters and stuff. No one was just hanging out. And one of this Rav, I think his name was Rav Brach, if I remember, he said, all of a sudden he looked out the window, everyone was inside, and he saw some person running around with his peddling stuff. Quickly he was running, he was trying to make a sale, trying to get some stuff, and he ran, and he went, and he was going. And this Rav thought to himself, this kid is going around to make a buck. And he's going in the streets and running and doing, I shouldn't go to the basement and learn. He said he went downstairs And sure enough, Nebuch bombs out and he lost his arm. This rug lost his arm from that bomb from going out. And he, when he was recovering, people were visiting and everything, and he said to himself, he said to them, he said, I learned a big lesson from this. He said, just when they say that you have to approach learning like a job, he says, but with chachma. When people go on money, they lose all their chachma. He says, you have to approach it like a job, but with your brain screwed on tight. You know, money will make a person just do crazy things, go out in the middle of a war. He says, when you're doing it for Torah, it should be like a job, but with your brain on properly. So I think that's the proper balance, meaning a person has to approach things, learning, like it's a job, a serious thing, but also he has to have a balance, not to be totally mishuga, not to therefore consider it something that's, you know, koach nefesh, and he has to go and do crazy things like that. Al-Kabon, the point is to put all your efforts into the Torah learning. When someone once asked Rav Shach, he was newly married, and he was going into kol, he really didn't need the kol paycheck. And he asked Rav Shach if he should get the kol paycheck, or he should save the money, you know, save the 2,000 shekels for the kol also, they have more money. Rav Shach says, no. He said, you should take the kol paycheck. Why? He says, if you take the paycheck, you're going to be serious. You're going to have a achrayas, responsibility to be there. You're going to come up and show up and learn much better. You don't take the paycheck, yeah, okay, I'm anyways for free, I'll come, I'll go. He says that by doing that, it makes it more real, which is obviously a thing that anyone that's learning and getting paid definitely has to put all their efforts into it and make sure that, and even the incentives like money help. The Pirkei Moshe, he says that the work, you have to have work in order for it to be proper. The work here is referring to coming out with halacha. People will learn and learn and learn and learn sugyas and sugyas and sugyas, and they'll never come out with a psak halacha. They won't know how to tie their shoes. They won't know how what's the right way to pronounce tefillin, things like that. So he says that if you learn, just learning for logic and for pilpul and things like that is not the right way. He says if you learn with malacha, then that's proper. If not, that it then just brings with it sin in its wake. So all we see from this, you got a kolel guy, and according to the Lev Simcha, he's able to sit and learn. But the learning has to be with a very, very serious concentration, with malacha, with all of his intense concentration. It has to be like it's a job, and it has to be with a focus on living the Torah and coming out with practical halacha. And by doing that, a person can be saved from all sin, which is what the Kutzker Rebbe said, a famous line. He said, "I want my chassidim that they should be. I want my chassidim that don't just stay away from sin because it's not allowed, but because they simply have no time for it." That's what the Kutzker said. He said, "I don't want the guys to sit there the whole time. Oh, you shouldn't be looking. You shouldn't be on the streets. You should be still running and doing and things." A lot of times, you see in life, it's very clear that this is like the root of all evil, so to speak. You see, guys, they just have too much time on their hands. They're walking and going, and they don't have much to do. And so where are they going to go? The guys that are, you know, boom, boom, running and doing, and have places to go and things to take care of them. So, which is basically what the Mishnah is suggesting. You should have a job, and you should have things that you're always taking care of, and you just don't have time for those things. Rav Nachman Goldstein, he said, if anyone knows who that is, you could help me out. I think it's the Tchariner. I'm not sure. So he says that someone living with energetic Torah, right, he's learning Torah with malacha, so he is not going to fall into sin. But even if he does fall into sin, the sin is going to be so weakened by his efforts and to learn the Torah that it won't be done with a lot of enthusiasm. And therefore the tshuva will be very easy. Like the Rebbe says in Sichas Aran, he says that I've managed, I think he said something like, to chop off the arms and the legs from your avirus. Right? What did Rebbe mean by that? He meant to say that once you come to a certain level of serving the Kadosh Baruch Hu and connecting to Him, so even if a person falls into sin, he can't just do it with the same abandon as he once did it before. And therefore, since he didn't do it with such abandon, so maybe it's much easier to come back and do tshuva from that, which is what Nachum Goldstein is saying is referred to also in this Mishnah, that a person that does all these things, even if he does fall into sin, it won't be a very powerful sin. The next line, the question that we mentioned before was that the Mishnah seems to be saying twice. It says, Yofatam Torah Deocharetz. It's good to have Torah with work. And it says, any Torah that's not with work is no good. Why do you have to say it twice? Any Torah that's not with work, Torah with work, we heard you. So a lot of people give different answers. The Bach on the Torah, which is, you know, Posik, Psak Halacha, here he gives an interesting answer. He says it's referring to two different people. He says the first one is someone who is totally consumed with a desire for money. All day long, it's money, 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 business, business, business. We went to the car with someone, and he said he was a businessman. The other guy was trying to tell him about different business deals. And he said, the businessman told him, he said, listen, he said, you give me shirts, I'll make you a buck. He says, you give me pants, I'll make you a buck. You give me forklifts, I'll make you a buck. He says, I'm a businessman, this is what we do. A person that's running after money, just for the desire for money, he doesn't have any time to learn. So for him, the Mishnah says, you should know that if you're working and working and working, make sure that you have some time to learn. The other guy is someone that's sitting all day in the Beis Medrash and has no connection to making money at all. So addressing him, the Mishnah says, if you don't have work, right, it's not such a good thing. Meaning a person that's sitting in the Beis Medrash all day should also have some work. What is this work? So Rav Simcha Bunim says, this involvement of work is not just to save a person from sin, but it's also beneficial to his Torah learning. What does he mean? He says that Torah learning in isolation is like having a sefer. A person sits in the Beis Medrash a whole day, right? He sits in a room. There's a story with the Baal Shem Tov, you know, he always would meet these ascetics that would sit in rooms somewhere in the forest and just learn and daven all day. And there was one story that he came and he told his Talmud to come, and they went to this guy. He said to the Baal Shem Tov something like, I don't understand why Eliyahu Novi doesn't come to me. I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I did all these things. So the Baal Shem Tov said, he said, put your arm around my shoulder. So the student put his arm around the Baal Shem Tov's shoulder. All of a sudden he saw that the room where this supposedly very, very holy person was filled with snakes and scorpions and all sorts of crazy things. And he said, Baal Shem Tov, that's the Yetzer Hara. This person was so absorbed in himself that he was filled with haughtiness, and therefore he was very holy, but he was filled with haughtiness, which obviously tainted all the learning. And then he said, let's go to this like blacksmith or something. And they went there, and he saw him, he had black hands and everything, he had a little tehillim on the side. In between jobs, he'd say a couple of chemical tehillim, he had a little chumash. He said, now put your arm around my shoulder. The student put his arm around the boss on the shoulder and closed his eyes, and all of a sudden, boom, he saw like a light beating, like supernal light. He said, that's because this person is really holy. He's not doing huge things, he's really holy. Basically, a person that could be sitting all day in a Beis Medrash is a very holy thing, but sometimes it leads to haughtiness. Even if it doesn't, it's still, the Rav Simcha Bunim Shista says that it's like a boat, it's like a sefer, right? You have a sefer, it's a beautiful thing, it's holy. You know, put it on the floor, it's just a holy thing. But until someone opens it up and learns from it, it's just dormant, it's just sitting there, potential. So too, a person who hoards, so to speak, his Torah, might have a lot of Torah within him, but the best thing is to go out a little bit, to walk around, and to see people, and to basically have to do with the world, and by doing that, you could spread the light of Torah unto other people. Apparently, this probably could be done by being a Rebbe or something like that, not just going out to work, but the point being that a person that has Torah inside of him, wherever he is, he should try to spread it, and not just hoard it. It could apply also to any person, wherever you are. If you're going into a store, if you're going into anywhere, like we saw a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a different Mishnah, I'm not sure. I'm all over the place in Pirkei Avos. Rav Shik says that if you go into a store anywhere, I think it's a different Mishnah in different Pirkei Avos. He says if you go into a store, you're going anywhere, have a conversation with a guy, add some words of Kedusha Torah. He says, yeah, I went to Brooklyn. So you went to Mincha. I went to Brooklyn, I love Mincha. Anything to get Hashem in the picture is something that's very, very precious and just brings Hashem consciousness into the world. I was once actually in an apartment in Brooklyn with a bunch of my friends that were not religious for a long time, and very not religious, so to speak, in that place in their life. And I came to their apartment, and I would always just hang out with them, just be there with them. I wouldn't tell them Torah or anything, just be there with them. And I think it was important. And one time I came in, and it's thirsty, so I took a cup of soda, and I said, Bo, Hashem, like, you know, some shock on the other. And the guys were all just sitting there, very, very different states of consciousness, and they all said, oh man, and they started laughing hysterically. They hadn't heard Kedusha, they hadn't heard a bracha in so many months, maybe years, that they were like And it like tickled something in their neshama, and they were just laughing. They were like, oh, bracha, wow, you know? And it actually awoken something. So Rav Shik says, wherever you are, according to this from the Simcha Bunim, he's saying that you have Torah, but bring with him halacha. Meaning, wherever you are, you can go out into the world. If you're going out into the world, unless everyone does go out into the world, wherever you are, you can say, you know, and Eretz Yisrael, especially here, you know, guys in the post office, Tada Abam, Baruch Hashem, Bezat Hashem, you know, these things are kedusha, and these things are, you bring a little bit of Hashem everywhere in all the places where we are. So Hashem should help us to be shizaycha to see the kedusha. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you so much.